'cause what more can I say than you give on me all my desire? Surely my heart will rejoice and be glad.
There was a man called Nicodemus who walked up to Jesus by night, and he told Jesus, "It is obvious that you are a man who comes from God, because there is nobody that would be able to do these things that you do if God is not with that person." Nicodemus was already indirectly confessing the fact that he was from a system that did not know God. Being a religious man, a chief among the religious rulers of that day, he was already telling Jesus indirectly that he has seen them the way they are. That in reality they have a form of godliness, outward godliness, but no power. They were only couriers of letters, of talk, and beliefs and doctrines, but no substance, no life, no reality of the knowledge of God. You see it, and this is the same thing that is happening today on the earth. We have establishments of morality, establishments of religion. You see, all having a form of godliness, of outward holiness, but lacking the life of God, lacking the reality of the presence of the living God. Nicodemus recognized that Jesus was a different breed. And he said that no man can do these things except God is with him. See it? And I tell you, all the other scribes and Pharisees had the same question, had the same thing in their mind. But Nicodemus swallowed his pride and walked up to Jesus by night. By night, so that the people, they don't see him. You see it? You see what religious pride can do to people? You see, he walked by night so that people don't see him. And he went to meet him and look, it's obvious. I claim to be a teacher. But please, teacher, the teacher of Israel, the teacher of the scribes and Pharisees was telling Jesus, teacher. He called him rabbi, which means teacher. That means he recognized that Jesus was the true teacher. That all that they were doing was just game, play, you know. And what was Jesus' response? Jesus didn't go into long stories and all talk here and talk there. He just told him plainly, no man, you see, can see the kingdom of God except he is born again. By this particular declaration, Jesus was already indicating that he was a product of God's kingdom. Jesus was saying that he could do the things that he did because he was a product of another world, another system that is not known to man. And he was telling Nicodemus, if you want to be where I am, if you want to do the things that I do, you must be born again of the word of truth. There must be a regeneration, a transformation that must occur in you before you will experience this life and this grace that I am experiencing. And this is the thing that Jesus Christ came to the world to reveal to the world. Jesus Christ has come to give us life and life more abundantly. This is a present time reality. Jesus Christ was not just speaking letters. He lived in the reality of God's kingdom. He walked in the reality of God's kingdom. He told Nicodemus that nobody has been to heaven except the Son of Man, referring to himself, who is in heaven. Meaning that as he stood before Nicodemus, even though Nicodemus was beholding his flesh body, in reality, he was walking in another realm. He was walking in the heavenlies. This is the same Jesus that days later, he spoke to the multitudes. He said, you are from beneath, but I am from above. You see it? Saying that he was already walking in another world. He said, I am not of this world. You see it? I am not, this is not my world. I am not of this world. I only appear to testify of the truth, to reveal to you the truth, so that you can comprehend this truth and live. I've come to you like the light that is shining in the dark places. For the book of Isaiah, the prophet prophesied that the people that are living in darkness, in thick darkness, they have seen a great light. And that light is the revelation of God's kingdom. It's a realm of life. Something that has been hidden from man's understanding and comprehension. So that the men have been roaming up and down, searching for some kind of satisfaction and comfort, not ever knowing their way into God's kingdom. This is the thing that the prophets of old, many, many great men, holy men, fought to see, but they never saw it. But this thing today is at our disposal. God is revealing to us his kingdom. He's revealing to us the place of abundant life. And for God so loved the world that he has given us the Son as a testimony, so that those who can comprehend this mystery, those who can open their eyes and behold this mystery, will pass over from death to life. They will be exalted from the miry clay of human existence, and their feet will be set upon the rock, where they can once more see the good of the Lord. This is the will of God. And it is a present day reality. It's not something for tomorrow when you die and go to, you know, go to heaven or go to hell, like, you know, like religion has taught us. You see it? The reality is here right now. All we have to do is to shed, you know, the veil of the flesh that has covered our eyes of understanding. You see, when Jesus Christ went about healing the blind, those things were prophetic. You see, when Jesus Christ heals the blind, prophetically speaking, he was pointing to the work that he would do throughout the ages, which is opening the eyes of the spiritually blind so that they can see the glory of the Lord and they can once more live in the glory of the Lord. You see, this is the essence of the mystery of God. The God of this world, the God of this material, corruptible age, has blinded the eyes of the understanding of men so that they do not behold nor comprehend the glory of God. But thank God for the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has been given to us so that we can begin to once more perceive the things that God has freely given to us. God is just. God is love. God will not withhold anything from any man. And this is a free gift. That's why he says that anybody that is thirsty, let him come. I will give him freely. It's not saying come tomorrow when you die. He's saying come now if you can hear the voice of the Son of Man. Come now if you can hear the voice of the Alpha and the Omega. As you come before me, I will give you out of the brooks bubbling with life so that you will never taste of death again. Oh, hallelujah. You will pass over from the realm of death, where sorrow and gloominess reigns, into the realm of bliss, where sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isn't this the prophecy of Isaiah? Isaiah says that in that day, the ransomed of the Lord, oh hallelujah, shall escape and find themselves singing upon the, you know, the mountains of Zion. And every trace of sorrow and death, every sign will fade away. So I'm going to show, we're going to talk today about the new heaven and the new earth. This is the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem is God's kingdom, is the new age that God has promised all of us who seek his salvation. God has promised us a new world where righteousness reigns. And it's important that we understand these concepts of what God is saying. Because many, many people read the scriptures and enter further and further into error. See, people are not comprehending the fact that the gates of God's kingdom are already open. And multitudes are pressing into God's kingdom. Jesus Christ said, from the days of John the Baptist, the gospel is being preached, and what? The violent are taking it by force. That is, people are pressing into God's kingdom in multitudes. But you need to have eyes to be open and ears to hear, to perceive this mystery. You see, God's workings are so mysterious that the man of this world, who is looking out for appearances, for physical signs and wonders, will never understand what God is doing. Oh, no wonder Jesus Christ took the blind man out of the city, away from the crowd, took him into the wilderness, spat into his eyes, opened his eyes, and told him, shh, don't tell any man. See, the work of God is mysterious. He comes like a thief in the night. He does not make noise in the streets. His ways are not our ways. Oh, hallelujah. No wonder when Elijah went up to the mountain, he heard the mountain quake. And God was not there. He heard loud wind and, you know, fire and all the noise that you can think of. But God was not there. But God suddenly appeared with a whisper. You in silence. You find God in silence. His ways are not our ways. You see, God is not out to show man or to prove to man anything. All you have to do is to hear the gospel, believe it, and be saved. You see, the word of God is not in heaven that you go to heaven to pick him. You don't have to go to heaven to look for Christ. Neither do you have to go to the deep sea to look for Christ. Like Paul says, the word is in your mouth. You have to believe it and speak it, confess it, and enter into your rest. Enter into what God has freely given to you. Stop looking out for observations. People miss Jesus Christ because they were looking out for wrong signs. People could not perceive that the Messiah that they were waiting for was before them. They didn't know. You see, they were all waiting for the Messiah, but the Messiah came and they crucified him because they were looking out for signs. You see, but I tell you, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. Like Jesus Christ replied the scribes and Pharisees, the kingdom of God is within you. You have to discover it. You see it? And the kingdom of God is something that is discovered only as you discover yourself, the way you truly are. It's only as you discover yourself in your true essence, as the Son of God created in the image of the living God. That is when you begin to realize that everything has always been at your disposal, but you didn't know. Then you begin to realize that the Father has richly blessed you with every spiritual blessing, you know, in heavenly places. You begin to realize that you are that man in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, that God created and said, have dominion over every work of my hands. You begin to, realize that God has given you everything to enjoy richly. You see it? But you must first of all rediscover yourself. You see it? You must first of all be born again. You see, the born again process is simply a regeneration whereby we are, you know, washed away and, you know, purified from the lies that have encompassed us. The lies and the beliefs and the traditions of men that have blinded of our eyes to the reality of who we are. You see it? And we now begin to go back to understanding that true essence on the inside of us, that true spiritual body that we possess with the Father from the beginning of the world. Understanding that Jesus Christ walked upon the earth, what people had seen was God's kingdom made manifest in the flesh. Because Jesus Christ says, the Father dwells in me. He told the scribes and Pharisees, the works that I do, it's not me that does them, it's my Father who dwells in me that does this work. He told them that, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He told them that, don't you understand that I and the Father are one? He told them that I am the temple of the living God. The Father dwells in me and I in him. I always do the things that please God. These are things that no man had ever said before the coming of Christ. No man ever understood this mystery before the coming of Christ. Everybody always looked at God as, you know, a God that dwelt in physical temples. They would go to Jerusalem to worship God, you know, and climb the higher mountains to worship God. They built, you know, an expensive, Solomon built the what they call the wonder of the world. Up to this very day, no building, no temple has been so well detailed and beautiful as the temple of Solomon. In fact, in this present time, it's not possible to gather such resources to build that kind of temple. It's just impossible. It's impossible. The temple of Solomon has been dismantled. You see, that nobody can gather the resources to build that kind of temple anymore. It's impossible. In this physical world, just forget it. You see, and people thought that people came from the ends of the earth, all over the world, to see that temple and to worship. Great men, philosophers, kings, queens. The Queen of Sheba went there, and she saw the temple, and she worshipped God. She saw the wisdom of Solomon. Say yes. You see, they all thought that the God was dwelling in that temple. You see, even Moses, when he built the tabernacle, they all thought God was dwelling in that tabernacle. But what they did not know is that all those things were shadows. They were pointers. They were pointers to the coming of Christ, who is the real temple of God. When Jesus Christ appeared on the scene, he now confessed that the temple, the God that you are seeking, the Father that you seek, dwells in me. What? That is why they crucified him. That who are you? Are you greater than Moses? Are you greater than Abraham, my father? Who are you? How dare you? Blasphemy. What you? Who are you? Men have traveled from all over the world to worship our God. And you say that God dwells in you? Blasphemy, blasphemy, blasphemy. And to this very day, people still have these myths, these beliefs that God is somewhere in the sky. People still have this belief that God is, you know, in a temple somewhere, sitting on a chair somewhere in the sky. This vision, this image is still in the mind of God, of men. See, but Jesus Christ brought to light a new revelation that the Father does not dwell in temples made with hands, that God dwells in him, in the Son, in Christ. Hallelujah. And years later, after Jesus had finished his ministry, Paul came out and asked the question, don't you know that you are the temples of the living God? Hallelujah. You see, Paul now got the revelation too. And he asked that we are the temple. Don't you know that we are the temple of the living God? This is a mystery that has been hidden all along. You see, before now, our temples have been temples of idols, lying fallow. We do not know the substance that dwelt on the inside of us. Oh, hallelujah. You see, God comes in twos. God comes in twos. Where you have the Father, you have the Son. And where you have the Son, you have the Father. They are always inseparable. We're going to see it now in the book of Revelation. They are always inseparable. Wherever you see the Father, you see the Son. Wherever you see the Son, you see the Father. That is how God appears. He appears in twos. You see it? And this is the mystery that Jesus Christ came to reveal to man. Jesus Christ is saying that you are suffering in lack. You are suffering in poverty. You are suffering in fear. You lack faith. He says, oh, you of little faith. You live in fear simply because you have lost the knowledge of who you truly are. You have lost the knowledge of the treasure that is on the inside of you. You see, Jesus Christ did not come to preach himself. He came to preach the eternal temple of God, the spiritual body. You see, that interface that Jesus preached, that body, is just a temporal body. He just came into that body to reveal that invisible essence that is in him. Because we're in reality, we are spiritual beings, actually. See, we're not flesh and blood beings. We're not creatures of the earth, creeping things, no. We are spiritual beings born in the image of God. We are immortal beings, incorruptible beings. See it? Some of us are suffering today and having sicknesses and diseases and all the things that we have suffered in our lifetime. It's because we have not laid a hold on that glory of God on the inside of you. We have been blinded from the life of God on the inside of us. That's why we have been perishing. See, but if we can take a hold, if we can touch that glory on the inside of us, then we can begin to receive healing in our lives. You see, that's why Paul says that if the Spirit of God, see, that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in our mortal bodies, it will also do what? Quicken us. You see, it will quicken, it will electrify us. You see, you remember from the Garden of Eden, the streams of water flowed from the midst of the garden. The source of the garden, of the river, was from the midst of the garden. See, and that garden is on the inside of us. See, but that garden has been blocked. Now when the revelation comes and things begins to open, there begins to be a flow of the life of God. And that life will flow onto the every aspect of our body. To flow onto the outward and heal our minds, heal our souls, heal our bodies. You see, and we'll begin to see life once more. Amen. Let us understand that the reality of God's kingdom is on us. We can right now possess the kingdom. We can right now live the life of abundance. The same life that Jesus Christ lived. See it? When he was in the sea, and the violent waves came, what happened? They were all crying, "Oh, Jesus, you are sleeping. You want us to die?" Oh, and you know, he woke up. What is happening? "Oh, you of little faith." And he stilled the water. You know his secret? He was in the bosom of God. He was in the heart of the Father. He was in the hands of God. God encompassed him. This was something he knew. He was living it, not just talking it. He was living the life of the Son who is in the Father. Oh, hallelujah. No wonder John, the apostle, said that he said, when he described Jesus, when he was introducing Jesus in a letter, he said, "We beheld him. We beheld the life of God that was in the bosom of the Father from the beginning. Our hands handled him and we touched him." He was testifying that they had seen the glory, the very life of God. And it was made manifest to them and they saw it. And they are testifying so that we can all have fellowship together and, you know, enjoy. Oh, hallelujah. So God, Jesus Christ, came to reveal that life of God. And he has come to tell us that we can partake of the life of God. You see it? He has come to tell us that the way that he lived is the same way we can live. The same victory that he had is the same victory that we all have. Yes. Everything that he is what we are. That is what he came to tell us. You see it? When he resurrected from the dead, when he saw Mary, he told Mary, "Look, I am descending unto my God and your God. I'm ascending up to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father." You see, he came to reveal to them that we are brethren. We have the same inheritance. We are co-heirs to God's kingdom. That same life that is in God, that same life that Jesus Christ came to demonstrate here, is a life that is ours. You see, not when we die, like religion will tell you, not when you go to the sky. It's something that you must perceive right now on the inside of you and take a hold of it. That's why John, in his letter, in 1 John, he says that anybody that has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. See, we have to purify us. Yes, this hope to be partakers of the glory of God, this hope to be partakers of God's kingdom, we must what? Purify ourselves. Yes. Purify our thinking. You see, we have to begin to regenerate our minds and let us begin to think according to the truth. Let us begin to perceive things according to the truth. It will mean losing our lives. You know, certain things that you hold on to dearly in this corruptible world, you might have to let go. You will let go of it anyway at the end of the day. So why don't you just let go of it and live a good life? See it? People, that's why Jesus Christ will say, well, what will it profit a man if he's gained this whole world and loses what he saw? This is the foolishness of man. The man of this world wants to gain this world, but in the process, he loses his soul. So when you don't have the soul, how can you get the world? You know, like we were talking about somebody, the monkey, who puts his hand in a jar to take a banana in a jar, and when he holds the banana, he cannot remove the hand. So if he wants to be free, he has to leave the banana.
Yes, that's right.
So that is how life is. We must understand that nothing... You can't take and have it. You can't. So this is what God is telling us. We have to let go. Purify ourselves. He that has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. We purify ourselves from our, you know, materially inclined way of thinking. Earthly way. You see, like the Bible says, let your treasure be in heaven. Let our minds not be fixed on this material world. Let us begin to walk in the light as in the light. Let us begin to walk in the Spirit. Like Paul says, those that walk in the Spirit will inherit life eternal. They will inherit the life of God as we walk in the Spirit of God. So, John saw something in the book of Revelation. He saw the new Jerusalem, like we read some minutes back. He saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. See, the first heaven and the first earth here in this particular context is talking about the old life, this world where there is no knowledge of the living God. He's talking about this world where death reigns. You see, the world passes away in our consciousness. It's not something that happens physically. Somebody is expecting that this world will end physically in one way, but that's not what God is talking about. He's talking about ending of this system of things. You see it? Ending of that life that we've lived without a knowledge of the living God. The end of that life that we have lived without, you see, the knowledge of God's kingdom and God's presence. That end comes only as we hear the truth and we comprehend the truth and follow the lamp wherever it goes. The Spirit of God will guide us into this truth. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. The Spirit of God leads us out of this corruptible age, this realm that men live in relation to materialism. He leads us out of this age into a new world in God. It is a world that is hidden in God that this world is not aware about. You see it? It's a place secret, sacred, that a man of this world cannot understand. You see, if they understood it, they would not have killed Jesus. You see it? And never try to bother yourself trying to, you know, to convince people or to, you know, because people, if somebody is not predestined to receive this thing, he cannot.
No.
See, they will only just reject you and,
yes,
so
yes.
Don't bother yourself trying to, you know, convince people. And like, people who are of the truth will hear the truth and take it. I have received calls from all over the world. I've received letters from China, from people, remote countries that you will never expect. You see, these are people who hear this voice and immediately they know that this is the truth. This is the advice. I've seen those kind of things like that. So you don't need to struggle. Just go your way and testify of the truth, what the Father is revealing to you. See, this new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells is a place where God will encompass us with his mercies and his tender kindness. You see, it's a place where God's blessings and unlimited favor flows to the fullness. As long as we remain out there with men observing vanities, observing the vanities of this material age, we cannot find this grace of God. That's why the Bible says we must leave everything to follow God. Follow Christ wherever he goes, so that we can be partakers of this new heaven and the new earth. This is the promise of Jesus. You see, that he will give us a new kingdom where there is no more death and pain. In Revelation chapter 21 verse 4, it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have what? Passed away. You see it? The former things are passed away. Then him that sat on the throne says, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountains of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, and let's stop there. You see it? Let's stop there. I don't want to go into that one because that's another. Because if I go into that one, it will take us, you know. You just talk about the consequences of those, for those who reject this salvation that God is giving. They have what they call the lake of fire to contend with. We have to preach that in another message, because these are things that have already been misunderstood by men for many years now. See it? Let us not deceive ourselves. If anybody refuses to submit to Christ, he will have to go through a painful process. And it's not pleasurable. So the Alpha and the Omega is saying that it is done. It is what? It is done. There's nothing else that we should expect from God. God has finished his work. All we just have to do is to enter into what God has finished. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Anybody who tests, let him come and partake of this work freely. Christ has been revealed to them. The gospel has been preached already to all the creatures under the earth. You see, the light has already been shone, and the veil has already been rent for God's temple, so that people can now begin to press into God's kingdom. You see it? He says that in this place there is no more death, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrows. You see it? Those that are the former things, they shall pass away. These are the things that belong to this age that we have lived in. This world of appearances. This age that has tied us to, you know, a corruptible nature. It has tied us to a material world. You see, and we have tried all along to make this material, you know, this, well, how do I call it, material things to work out. Things where there are no life. We try to make this, it's like trying to make your dolls come to life. If you have a baby doll. You want to make these things come to life. You want to make things come to life where there is no life. And that's why you have sorrow. You see, sorrow and heartbreak and heart, you know, you get disappointed at your father, you get disappointed at your son, you get disappointed at your wife, you get disappointed simply because your heart is not set. You're not working in relation to the truth. You see it? When you begin to discover that the solution to your problem is simply submitting yourself back to God in Christ. Submitting yourself back, or returning, reverting back to your true essence as a son of God. That is the only thing that will cause you to see satisfaction. I think we read it yesterday. It says that I will be satisfied when I what? When I awake in your likeness. You see, that is only when you, that is the only place you can find satisfaction. It is in your, when you are awakening your faculties, your inner faculties, you are awakening into your true essence as the Son of God. then you are going to find the satisfaction you seek. Then sorrows will fade away. Then tears and pain and all those things that you have suffered in the your human experience will be no more. You will now look at them as the former things, the things of the past. Death will be no more. No more will you fear. Nothing will make you afraid anymore because you see the living God. You walk by the living God. You walk in Him. Oh, hallelujah. You walk in the omnipotent and in the omnipresent God. Hallelujah. In that day you shall know that there is only one God and only one power. And nothing can ever take away your peace away again from you. Nothing can make you fear again. Because you walk in the bosom of God, the living God, consciously. No more, you know, with vain words of men. You know, multitudes of words of men. You walk in the knowledge. And you know that you know, that you know. That is the place we are coming to. It says that anybody that what overcomes will what inherit all things. And I will be what his God and he will be my son. See it? Jesus Christ walked in this reality. He was the first to walk in. Jesus Christ walked in this blessing that we are talking about. Jesus Christ walked in this new world. He was a product of the new Jerusalem. He was a product of the kingdom of God. The new Jerusalem is the kingdom of God. He was a product of what the new Jerusalem, the kingdom of God. That is why he could flourish in everything that he did. And this is where we all are coming to. Everyone knowing God as what? Son, as God and Father. Yes. No more some kind of, you know, tribal God that you burn fire to and, you know, give offerings to far away. That day you will know it's your Father, your true Father in truth. And not just a God, you know. Who, you know, and you know the way you love your son and the way you want to do good to your son. Jesus Christ says, if you being evil in your humanity, you being evil can want to do good things to your son, how much more will my Father do good things for you? See it. So if I have suffered at all, it's simply because I lost the knowledge of who I am. I lost the knowledge of that, the fact that I had a Father and I had a God. This new world that we enter into is a world where we live in God. It's a realm where God is all in all. Where we are encompassed in God. Hallelujah. It's a realm where we know God to the fullness. Where we can confess that I and the Father are one. Where we can confess that the Father dwelleth in me. That is the Father that does the works in me. Hallelujah. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. That is the realm that we are walking in these last days. And we are demonstrating this thing now to the principalities and powers. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the new world that is coming to place. Amen. No more tears. See, God himself. Yeah, no more sorrows. He will turn everything overnight into joy and singing. See, but he that has this hope has to what? Purify himself. That's why in chapter 20, in 22, Revelation, it says, Revelation chapter, it says that, blessed are those who do his commandments, and chapter 22, verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, and they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. You see it? Outside are the dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, the murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. You see it? He says that those people that do the commandments, you see it? Those that do what? Do the commandments of God, that they might have the right to enter in through the gates. See, we can only find the entrance of that gate as we conform to the commandment of God. And what is the commandment of God? It's simply to conform ourselves to the image of Christ. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Conformed to Christ. Be not conformed to that natural man, outer man, exterior man of the flesh, but be conformed now back to your spiritual, the spiritual man on the inside of you, who is the Son of God. See, because the outer man is corrupt. The outer man is a liar. The outer man is the one that is encompassed with lies. You see, he's the one that is spiritually the dog and the fornicator and whatever. You see, because these are the ones that unite themselves with vanity. They unite themselves with the world instead of being united with God in one. They unite themselves with the world. You see it? And God wants us to what? Divorce ourselves. And he says, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, and I will receive you.
Come out of
her. That's come out of the world. Mm-hmm. Come out of her, my people, and I will be a God and a father to you. See, if you can hear this voice, he's saying, come out of this world system. Purify yourself. And you will enter into the gates to see what life is to the fullness. This is the will of God for every child, everyone who has the message. It is a reality that is present. Amen.
Amen.
The New Jerusalem reality, the reality of walking in the heavens, in God's kingdom. You see it? Within the walls of gold, the streets of gold, where streams flow with living water, where the tree of life, you know, is in abundance, where we can eat of the tree of life. All that is available right now. See it? Because as we are waking, we become an encompassment, that is a containment, a container of both the Father and the Son, so that the whole world will behold God being made manifest in the flesh. Amen.